I trust everybody's satisfied tonight. Tonight we're going to keep this going about how to glorify God. Remember the last time we got into the book of Romans, which is where we're going to be. We're talking about being like-minded with Jesus. In 15:7, Romans 15:7. The last time we were in Romans, we read this: therefore accept one another, just as Christ also accepted us to the glory of God. And once we do that, we become like-minded as He is, wanting to glorify our Heavenly Father. So that is a ministry. You can look at it as a ministry. Okay? So being like-minded with Christ is what we're looking at tonight. Also in Romans 15, which is where we're going to be, we will look at this. And we're going to be looking at being like-minded in our, if I can pronounce, admonishing. Is that right? Is that the way you pronounce that? That's one of those words that you can get.
It's admonition.
Oh, admonition. Admonishing. How about that? Is that better? Okay. And the word actually means to warn. Okay, it means to warn is what it means. And that's what we're going to look at tonight as Paul writes this part of it. So let's go ahead and go and read Romans 15, verses 14 through 17. Everyone there? Okay. And concerning you, my brethren, I myself also am convinced that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able also to admonish one another. But I have written very boldly to you on some points, so as to remind you again, because of the grace that was given me from God, to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles, ministering as a priest the gospel of God, so that my offering of the Gentiles may become acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, in Christ Jesus, I have found reason for boasting in things pertaining to God. So let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father, for the food that you have provided us with already, Father. Father, if we read your word tonight, Father, I pray that each and every one of us will come to the full knowledge about this ministry, about admonishing one another. For you have made it this way, Lord, for us to do this, to keep us together, to bind us together, I believe. So, Father, I thank you for this. I thank you for what we're about to receive. In Jesus' name, amen. So tonight we're going to look at this ministry called admonishing. It's something that I was taught about a long time ago, but to put it into practice, we still need more instruction, because it seems like sometimes when it comes to warning a brother or sister, we kind of back off a little bit. It's the way, should I do it or shouldn't I do it? Is it going to hurt their feelings? Or this and that, so we kind of watch ourselves. We just don't go, completely into it right off the bat, because we always ask questions about it. When the Lord instructs us that we are to be concerned about each other's interest, that's why this ministry, this admonishing ministry, is so important. Like I said in the prayer, it will, if we do it and do it correctly according to what Jesus teaches us, what the Lord teaches us, it's a binding process. It will bind us closer together. So when troubled times do come, our brothers and sisters who are in that trouble, it's easier for them to, get back closer to the family instead of staying away and trying to fight it themselves. So it's important that we warn one another when there are spiritual problems coming up. That's what this is about here. In verse 14, we see Paul's concern for their spiritual maturity. He says, "And concerning you, my brethren, I myself also am convinced that you yourselves are full of goodness and filled with all knowledge." He's talking about spiritual maturity here, okay? Now, we've been told from the day that we become born-again Christians that there's nothing good within us. Well, there is, and it's called He's called the Holy Spirit. And we have a spirit also. So our spirit has become good. Now, shoot me if I'm wrong, Pastor. But our spirit is what's born again, okay? And it's become good. If we have put into practice the things that we have read, and it's very vital for each and every one of us to practice the Word of God. If we don't, then we're just sounding gongs. That's all. That's all we are. Just a noisemaker. So we see Paul's concern about their spiritual maturity here in the first part of 14. And then we see Paul's concern about admonishing one another. He says, he said in the last part, with all knowledge and able also to admonish one another. And when we come to warn each other, we come in a spirit of love. That's what we're taught about the Holy Spirit being first love. In fact, let's go to Galatians 5. Let's read that. See that goodness is in there. Galatians 5, 22, I believe. Yeah, 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. So this is the way that we come to one another. This is how we proceed instead of standing back waiting to see our brother or sister fall. We come to them in this spiritual manner. Okay, first love, right? First love. Those of us who teach, we are not responsible for their spiritual growth. The person who accepted Jesus is responsible for his or her spiritual growth. But we are responsible for what we teach and how we display God in our lives to them. Okay, that's vital. That's vital. So that's one of the reasons that we need to be together a lot. We really do. We need to be as a family together a lot and not apart. Once that happens, I believe we'll stop hearing all the complaints and stuff. But I hope so, Lord. So I'm reminded of two prayers. Okay, one of them is found in 2 Thessalonians 1:11. So if you'll turn over there, 2 Thessalonians 1:11. To this end also we pray for you always that our God will count you worthy of your calling and fulfill every desire for goodness and in the work of faith with power, so that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ will be glorified in you and you in him according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. So here Paul is praying for the believers to fulfill that spiritual goodness that's in you, that's in each and every one of us. Okay? We should never, never put ourselves down, because God never made any junk. He really didn't. I can look out and see you guys, and you on each and every one of your faces right now, I see that desire to know who your Heavenly Father is and that desire to get closer and closer and closer to him. By practicing and putting into practice in your life the Word of God, that happens. God will draw near to you, and you'll draw near to him. Okay? So it has to start. It has to start with us. So don't ever be ashamed of your spirituality. Always let it be in the forefront. Let it be there. And that's what Paul was concerned about, the spiritual maturity that the church in Rome had, the new believers. And the other prayer is found in Colossians 1. So if you'll turn back just a few pages, 9 through 12. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience joyously, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. That to me is one of the most powerful prayers I've ever heard. Yeah, Jim. 11.
Yeah.
Strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience joyously. No, we don't. We always want the easy way out. But we grow and are strengthened by that, long suffering. And that's what I was going to get to. That's another reason why we need each other. Once we see a brother or sister going through this suffering, this spiritual suffering, what can we do? We can come alongside and help. Not to point them into the direction of a way out of it, but to stand there and help them when they're going through it, because we know that it strengthens the person who is going through it. And it's a spiritual strengthening. If you were a little confused when we started reading this at verse 9, what Paul was talking about was the faith that the Colossian church had. Okay, when he started it, for this reason also, when we heard of it, he's talking about when they heard of their faith, their great faith. Okay, they prayed that they would be filled with all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And that should be a prayer that we should have for one another, especially you new believers. Those of us who teach, we have prayed this prayer for you. Okay? We have. That you will be filled with all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And that's very, very vital and important. And those of us who teach have to walk that way too. So it's if you see your teacher stumbling in an area, well, how's that going to affect you if you see your teacher? We know that Jesus never stumbled. He was righteous in everything he did. Even in his anger, he had a righteous anger. So we can all be part of this ministry of admonishing one another. It's very valuable and very uplifting for each and every one of us. So we looked at the spiritual ministry that Paul was talking about here, about admonishing. Remember what it means? It means to warn our brother, to warn our sister, okay? To bring them back from that area that they were drifting off into, okay? But sometimes we get caught up in the goings-on of the day, you know. We overlook some spiritual dues like admonishing. Like I said, I was taught this a long time ago, but to actually put it into practice was the position that I took was to stand back and wait to see what happened instead of helping, instead of coming alongside, just to wait and see what, you know. I used to hear people say, well, we'll just see what God's going to do. We'll just, you know, wait for that. But I don't think we're supposed to. I think we're supposed to go help. If we're going to be a family in God, we need to help one another, especially when there's spiritual things going, problems that are happening. And we all come down with physical things. And there again, we do help one another in prayers and fasting. So sometimes we do look over the dues like admonishing. When it comes to our biblical studies, we sometimes are so, I know it for a teacher, we have a focus point that we're trying to get to be able to teach our students. And sometimes we miss things like admonishing in the Word. And it's a way to show our students and those that are listening to us that this is okay. We can do this type of ministry. Okay, you see what I'm getting at? Any questions? Okay, I see everybody. Don't go to sleep on me yet. Come on. The food's still digesting. so we miss some of those. So you know, Paul displays some of this, these physical traits that sometimes we miss. The spirit, they are spiritual. They're spiritual, physical traits. They're seen out in the person. In Acts, for instance, Acts 20, we had just read this not too long ago. Acts 20, 28 through 31. It's written, "Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. I know that after I depart, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves men will arise, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be on the alert. Remember that day and night, or night and day, for a period of 3 years, I did not cease to admonish each one with tears." So we see his admonishing of warning the church, "Hey, when I'm gone, this is what's going to happen." And it did. It happened to the church, and it happens to churches even today, when spiritual leaders do not preach the full counsel of God. They allow these things to come into the church, and before you know it, the whole church is falling into this trap, and they're off, way out of bounds. I'm not bragging. Well, I'm bragging in the Lord. I always tell the ones that I teach, I said, "I give you the right. If you ever see me doing something wrong, you correct me, and don't hold back." I've told that to even my friends. I really have. And like I said, I'm not bragging. I'm bragging in Christ, because I learned that from Him. So it's important, like I said, that we have to display the things that we're teaching. We have to walk that way. If we don't, then we're no better than the dogs. No better. I also heard it said that from a non-believer, "And you call yourself a Christian?" You know, in other words, you're a hypocrite. So, and we do not ever want to hear that. I tell you what, that would definitely break my heart if I heard it. Emotional admonishing is okay. If you can go to your sister, brother or sister with tears and help them get back in the right standing when they're going through problems. And like I said, it's vital for us that teach that we do that. Not to hold our any type of emotion back. Let it come out. Let the Holy Spirit lead us correctly. Yeah, that way we don't stumble. And then we'll see Paul's parental side. Did I write it down? 1 Corinthians 4. Turn over 1 Corinthians 4, verses 28 through 31. How about 14 through 16? I just looked up the page a little ways, that's all. I got to keep my finger over here on my page so I know where I'm at. 14 through 16. 1 Corinthians 4. It says, "I do not write these things to shame you, but to admonish you as beloved children. For if you were to have countless tutors in Christ, yet you would not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I became your father through the gospel. Therefore I exhort you, be imitators of me." Pretty powerful. Our Heavenly Father tells us the same thing, and Jesus also tells us the same thing. Be imitators of Him, them too. And here Paul's saying the same thing. So his admonishment, what would Paul's admonishment be here? What would be the warning that he's giving here to the Corinthian church? Look at what he's saying in verse 15. "For if you were to have countless tutors in Christ," in other words, many teachers, okay? A father figure is quite overpowering. I know our pastor is a father figure, because I can remember a time when I was hurt and hurt bad. He wouldn't let me do certain things. That's a father figure. Okay, he would not let me lift anything. He got on to me constantly for it. Every time we came to church, "Gary, don't you do that." And if we're still sophomores, we know it all anyway, so.
Really?
Yeah. We don't need a father figure, but we do. That's the way we need to show the spiritual side, that we need to be a father figure to those, to admonish those, to be able to help. But look in verse 16, he says, "I exhort you to be imitators of me." This is This is what Paul is saying here. I became a father because you needed a father. Even though you had have all this teaching and everything, you still need a father. So become like me. Be imitators of me. And he imitated the Lord, of course. You might want to write these down. I'll give you some more. Paul also admonished the church, the believers, with historical writings, like what was written a long time ago. He admonished the people. That's found in 1 Corinthians 10:11. And he also uses spiritual biblical truths to admonish. That's in Colossians 3:16. But let's go look at one. Let's go look at the confrontational side of Paul in admonishing in 1 Thessalonians 5. And here, I want you to hear his heart here, how important this is, okay? 1 Thessalonians 5, starting at verse 14 through 20. He says, "We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone. See that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks for this God, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit, do not despise prophetic utterance." So you can see the confrontational side of admonishing. And Paul urges us to, when we see brothers and sisters who are unruly and that type, you know, maybe they let a little word slip every once in a while or something like that, and it's not befitting of a believer or a son or a daughter, then yeah, we need to say something. Don't just shrug it off. It's okay to correct. That's what the word tells us to do anyway. So are there any questions on admonishing? Anything? Well, I encourage you, don't hold back. We need each other. We know that the times are even getting drawing very, very close. That's why we need always be led by the Holy Spirit. Always, never. Oh, that's a good point. I encourage you, go read 1 Corinthians 14 one more time. Let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer again. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this teaching that we have received, Father. I pray that we have learned, Father. I pray that we who have heard this teaching tonight, Father, will put into practice this admonishing, Father. When we do this, Father, and do it correctly, as we have learned from each other, we become more like you, Lord. Become more like Paul. May our love for one another never go out, Father. I pray that you'll keep that flame strong for our love for one another, Lord. And Father, when we do see a brother or a sister stumbling, may we have the fortitude and the ears to hear when the Holy Spirit is instructing us to come alongside and to help, Lord, and not to be ashamed in any way, shape, or form. So, Father, I give you thanks and I give you praise for what we have received. In Jesus' name, amen.